preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
We wait, your coming. For I, the Lord, I am with you. That is not just a theological term. You must realize that I am with you, that I am in you. I am your strength, I am your shield, I am your fortress, saith the Lord. Be not afraid of those things you hear or see throughout this world, but draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I will be your strength, I will be your healer, I will be your provider. And you are my children. You believe in me. You believe my word. Trust me. Do not fear. Praise you. Hallelujah. I felt like that was for somebody. Needed that this morning. Do not fear. Do not let fear overtake you. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened in the past. Amen? God is our strength and our shield. Amen? He still heals, he still delivers, and he still protects his people. Amen? All right. You might want to cut me down just a little bit of an echo. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We welcome you this morning. Those of you listening by Blog Talk Radio, Mixler, Facebook Live, I hope it's working. We got it in a little different spot today. Hang on a second. Did we have a problem? We'll have to wait just a second. We need memory card for the video this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. While they're getting the memory card, I tell you, we have a time, don't we? All this technology, but it just takes a bunch of attention. But anyway, we welcome everyone. You're watching and listening to Fire and Grace Church. I'm Pastor Dean Odle, and today we're going to get back into the flat earth issue. Flat earth, God's flat earth, we call it number five. Number five. But let's wait one more minute because Kevin's got to get the PowerPoint up. You know, I thought about that when I was back there when we were singing. I should have said something. It came to my mind. Yes, sir.
Well, we got a minute.
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank everybody that has been praying for how we look. And we've seen God's hand just in a mighty way. And him, physically, we need to also say that spiritually, I think it's been a great opportunity for the family to see God's hand move. Draw them closer to God through this process. It's been really special to be able to get down there and come alongside them and kind of walk this out with them. And just praise her for it. It's a big.
Praise God. So
he's doing really well.
You're doing good?
Yeah. I saw him. He was going through wrestling moves, cancers.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, his mobility is really just improving by each time. He was functioning real well when we were down there too.
Praise God. Well, that's a miracle. For those of you watching by Facebook Live, you can't see Paul there. Nephew was having seizures, and then so they decided to do brain surgery, and then he flatlined on the surgery table, and it didn't look good. The outcome did not look good at all. And everybody started praying, and they went down there and prayed for Solito, and Jesus intervened, and that boy is doing well. So that's awesome. Praise God. Amen. God is good. Amen. I'll even do it in French. Bonjour les bons, tous les temps. Amen. All right. Well, you can go ahead. Let's get started this morning. All right. We're going to get into God's flat earth, number 5. Now, this is something that really I thought I might be able to get all of it in. So there will be number 6 at some point, and probably a number 7. It's been an interesting ride here over the last few months since I started preaching this publicly. But I will say this, I'm going to point this out today, that we are going to look at one particular subject, and God did show me some more in the scriptures about this, but that this is very biblical. And we're going to look at why this is so very important. I have one particular testimony come into me on a YouTube comment that the moment I read it, tears came to my eyes. The presence of God just came over me. I read it to Nancy, and it just, the presence of God just washed over her. It was powerful. I just want to say this. Look, I know there are people out there who think I'm absolutely crazy and off my rocker about this. All right? And I know there's people who are having a hard time, even some of you maybe, having a hard time grasping this, believing this, accepting this, because our brainwashing was very strong from our childhood, that we live on a ball circling the sun and all these things, and we've tried to justify and change things in the Bible and turn them into metaphors and ignore them. But let me just say that in every move of God, and I believe we're entering into, we will enter into an end time, the final move of God when all chaos and hell breaks loose, we're going to move into the last great revival as well as the great tribulation and the wrath of God and the wrath of the devil and the Antichrist and everything. We're going to move into that time period, but I believe God is going to move. But in every revival, in every true revival that was a movement, that was a move of God, God restored a certain truth from the scriptures that had either been not understood or maybe ignored or pushed aside by the ecclesiastical hierarchy of whether it be the Roman Catholic Church or just dead churches in general. I'm just going to say this. Most of the churches in this world right now are apostate. They don't really believe the Bible, the whole Bible. They don't really stand for the truth. They're about money. The church to them is nothing more than a business, a job, an entertainment center, you know, a country club where you pay tithes. Really, they're not tithes, but they're dues, so you can enjoy the gym and the swimming pool and the tennis courts. And I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not what the church. The church is supposed to be, the Church of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the biblical church, it's supposed to be a place where you come to hear the truth of God's word, no matter what the world says. You understand? No matter what other churches say. No matter what other religions say. You're supposed to hear the truth of God's word, and especially, it should make you uncomfortable if you're not believing it or you're having trouble with it. The church should be a place where you're convicted of sin, where you're convicted of doctrinal error and unbelief. It should be a place where your demons are confronted and cast out in Jesus' name. It should be a place where if you can come to church every Sunday and feel totally comfortable and not challenged, then you need to run from that place. Amen? The church is supposed to be there to make you grow up, mature in Christ, be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and believe every word of the Bible as true. Amen? Let God be true and every man a liar, says in Romans. And boy, are we learning this more and more every day. So let me say, as I began to preach on this, and I still have people who are born-again Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, believe all these other truths that I've preached, but they're struggling with this one. All right? But why are they struggling with this one? One of them even said to me, I still don't see it in the Word. And I had to tell him, you don't see it in the Word because you don't want to see it. So I'm going to show you some things in the Word today, just particularly about, does the Bible teach that the earth is flat, or does it teach that it's a round ball? That's the main thing I want to focus on today. And we're going to see there's some new scriptures, and I'm going to show you some things that are going on in this world. And even, guess what? There's even a NASA document we're going to look at today. A NASA document that I downloaded from, yes, NASA.gov, talking about plane design of aircraft. And it says that aircraft are designed, and all the equations are in this little book, to fly over a stationary, non-rotating, flat Earth. Yeah, I'll show it to you in a minute. But let's just look at some of the scriptures. First, I want to go to Psalm 19. I know this is not on, don't have this one up right now. And you can just leave this up, Kevin, right here. For those of you looking at our first slide here, the first picture, God's Flat Earth, five little piggy balloon, 120,000 feet. You can find this on YouTube. This was a weather balloon test with a camera on it. Went up to 121,000 feet, did a 360 pan of the horizon, showed absolutely no curve. Many people across the world now are doing these high altitude balloon tests. Just let it be known that the U-2 aircraft, our U-2 spy plane, can only fly at 70,000 feet. And they show us their fake pictures with a curve. And I'm sorry, at 121,000 feet, there's no curve. You got to remember something. U-2 spy plane was designed by the U.S. government, used by the CIA, still to this day. Okay? So pardon me, folks, I don't believe the U.S. government and NASA and branches of our military when they give us pictures. I'm going to show you, though, how they skew these pictures to show a curve, a curvature of the earth when there's not one. But 121,000 feet right there. What does that horizon look like to you? Completely flat. Google Earth will show a curve of the earth at 60,000 feet. Not happening. Don't believe, listen to me, don't believe the propaganda that you're shown. But before we get into this, before I show you the biblical passages that say flat earth, in fact, I found a passage that should be translated flat earth. I'll show it to you in just a second. All right? Please stay with me on this. All right? But why do we do this? Why, you say, Pastor Dean, why would you get into something so controversial, are so unbelievable, are so hard for us, why would you dare get into this? Well, for several reasons. Number one, I'm going to say we should never, as Christians, tolerate lies. We should never tolerate being lied to or deceived by anyone. There's no justification for it. If it's a lie, it's a lie. And if it's a lie, it's of the devil. Amen. Jesus said that if we would continue in his word, John 8, if we would continue in his word, then we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. Truths make us free. It sets us free from lies, deception, error. And then Jesus made this statement in John chapter 17 when he was praying for his disciples, and he said, Lord, Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Now listen, folks, in a world of lies, in a world of deception and corruption, the word of God is your only source of truth, real truth. You understand? It's the final say-so on every matter. And especially if you're a Christian. It's not supposed to be. NASA, the government, the doctor's office, the CDC, or anybody else. They're not the final authority in the life of a Christian.
If you're born again and you love Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your final authority on every single matter is the Word of God, period. But it's up to you if you're going to study it. It's up to you if you're going to believe it. But I want to tell you this. If we believe what the Word of God says and we believe our own eyes, what I'm telling you today is the absolute truth. And big shock, that the world would lie to us. Remember, the NASA scientists that tell you the Earth is a ball, that tell you we orbit the sun, that tell you that there's these planets and millions of other planets out there that can sustain life, the same people tell you you came from monkeys. And all of this happened by hundreds of thousands of lottery wins over millions and billions of years, that everything had to be just perfect. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. And the same people that for some reason people are worried about, you know, coming against NASA over this issue or any space agency or government, listen, the same people, you tell them you believe in God who became a man, born of a virgin, died on the cross for the sins of mankind, one man paid for everyone's sins, died on that cross, was buried for 3 days dead, and rose from the dead, and you've got a problem with me saying that the Bible says, and my own eyes tell me, and simple experiments tell me, the earth is flat. The same scientists that won't accept me saying the earth is flat won't accept me saying my Savior rose from the dead on the third day. Stop trying to please and placate the world system and Christians who want to be worldly. See, at this point, I'm at a point in life where I don't care anymore. I just told a friend of mine, he's having this debate and argument with some Christians. And I'm like, stop arguing with them. They're lukewarm. They're in dead 501c3 churches. They wouldn't know that, they wouldn't accept the truth. He was trying to confront on one particular truth, not this one, but another one. I said, they won't accept the truth of the Bible on many subjects. So why keep arguing with them? Go find the people that are hungry for the truth. There are people out there who want to know. I'm not wasting my time on a bunch of religious hypocrites who go to lukewarm churches and don't want to hear the truth. Stay in your country club churches. Amen? Don't come on my Facebook page. Don't bother me. Go talk to your pastor. And continue to lull you to sleep. All right? Amen? So number one is the truth. The truth. We should always, as Christians, stand for the truth. We should never tolerate a lie. Number two is in Psalm 19 here. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In Romans chapter 1, it says that the things of creation give even the unbeliever a place where he has no excuse. So we should talk about the wondrous works of God. Psalm 148 says, praise him in the firmament of his power. And it says, praise him for his mighty acts. We should talk of his creation. The Creator created. Amen? We're supposed to speak of those wonderful acts. Well, if he made the earth flat and we go around saying it's a ball, is that praise God? No, it doesn't. I know there's still some people watching. They think I'm crazy, but I'm going to show you. Now, I'm not going to keep reading this. Well, let's go to our slides here. We'll start today. Go to the next one, brother. Now, in light of NASA's latest debacle, I want to show you something. This is kind of what inspired this. I don't know why it just disappeared. Really? Okay. Okay. Is it going to work? Anyway, where does it say? This is from spacetelescope.org here, right? What's this one say? This is from Wikipedia. Here's an article right here. Hubble captures vivid auroras in Jupiter's atmosphere. I just want to show you just another lie here, the recent one. And look, they got, you know, they got the picture of Jupiter here with the little curlicue, little hair, little aurora they put on there, right? What's interesting about this picture is astronomers are using the NASA, ESA, Hubble Space Telescope to study auroras. Stunning light shows in the planet's atmosphere on the poles, the largest planet in the solar system, Jupiter. This observation program is supported by measurements made by NASA's Juno spacecraft currently on its way to Jupiter. So this is current, right? So they show us this picture here. Now, I want to make sure you understand, this is a picture that's in Wikipedia. It says a picture from April of 2014. These are official NASA photos, right? Well, let's look at them side by side. We can't do this the whole time. Okay. Anyway, here's side by side, the two pictures side by side. Now, what do you see? Remember, Jupiter is supposed to be a large gas planet, primarily, helium and hydrogen. What's interesting about this, notice this gas planet here that says it has clouds and everything. And we have a picture from 2014, allegedly from NASA, and a picture from 2016. And do you see any of the cloud formations any different? Even the little storm that's supposedly been visible since the 1700s hadn't moved, right? And they just came in with a little CGI and put us a little aurora there, and they threw that out there. I mean, look, the exact same cloud formations in here. Look at there. Look. People just buy this as the truth. They are liars, and they lie to us, and they keep lying to us. I just wanted to throw one more illustration in there. There's no Juno spacecraft at Jupiter. Sorry. Why are they going back to old pictures if they got a brand new spacecraft at Jupiter? They lie. They lie all the time. Now, let's keep going. Let's go to the next one. Praise God. All right, Psalm 38. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, this is hard enough to do without problems, all right? Devil doesn't like this. I've been physically attacked by spiritual forces trying to get through to do this. So let's go to Job 38. Y'all in Job yet? 38. I want to read first. This is the Lord speaking. We're going to go to verse 1 first. Y'all stay with me. It's going to take a little bit to get through this, all right? Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it?" You know what the line is a measuring stick. But I haven't seen any curved measuring sticks, but that's, I digress. Let's keep going. "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, the angels. Or who shut up the sea with the doors when it broke forth? As it had issued out of the womb, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and broke up for it my decree and place, and set bars and doors. And he said, Here is you, shalt thou come, but no further. He shall be proud and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. So he's talking about the boundary he put for the oceans. Hast thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the day spring to know his place, the sun, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked may be shaken out of it. Now, before we read verse 14, it's up here. This whole context of this chapter is the Lord saying to Job, where were you when I made the earth? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I laid the cornerstone of the earth? Where were you when I laid the great depths of the seas? Where were you? We weren't there, right? No man, no woman, no person's ever, we weren't there to see it, to witness it, right? And that's what he's saying. So in the context, God is talking about creation to prove his great wisdom and who he is. And then he says this about the earth, because the context is talking about the creation of the earth, the foundation of the earth, the cornerstones of the earth, right? And he says here, it, the earth, is turned or changed as clay to the seal or the signet ring, and they stand out as a garment. Now, if you look the Hebrew words up, the word turned here doesn't mean we're spinning. The word turned means it is changed like clay, not clay on a spindle or on one of those things they use to spin clay around. That's not what he's talking about. He says this is changed like clay is to a signet ring. Now, this is why I've shared this before in the last video, but a signet ring was something that they took a little ball of wax, a little ball of clay, whatever, and the king or the governor or whoever took his ring and he pressed that seal down flat to seal that letter or that scroll or whatever. So this is the picture, the word picture from Job 38 that we have of the creation of the earth, and those seals there illustrate that. Now, this one Christian that I shared this with that said, I don't see it in the Word. I was like, well, I don't know what else to tell you. That's God's Word picture. But I will say that we do need more evidence in the Scriptures. So, you know, even if you want to throw out the Scriptures like the four corners of the earth, right? If you want to throw that out, go ahead and throw it out, right? I don't know how you get corners out of a... I've looked at basketballs. I don't see any corners on them, right? I don't see a basketball, you know what I'm saying, foundation, pillars, cornerstone. I don't see any of that. But the Bible does say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So let me show you. And again, we're just establishing, does the Bible say this? The biblical word. So let's go to the next one. This is Revelation. No. The script, yeah. Revelation 20, verse 7 through 9. You can turn there. Revelation 20, 7 through 9. But before you turn there, I want to give you a little lesson in the Greek language real quick, okay? Now, the Bible that we have, the Good King James Version from the received text that we have, from the uncorrupted text, is a good translation of the Bible, King James, in English. I believe the best translation in the English language. But you have to remember it is still a translation from the original languages, the Old Testament, Hebrew, some Aramaic, and the New Testament was originally written in Koine Greek. Now, I'm going to give you an example of something so you'll understand. Now, everybody's heard me preach on the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right? Revelation chapter 6. Now, you just read that in the good old King James Version. It talks about the white horse, and then it talks about the red horse, and then it talks about the black horse, and then it talks about, it says, the pale horse. And for years and years and years, we just, you know, you read across that, and it's the pale horse. You know, they even made a movie. What was it? Clint Eastwood, Pale Rider, and all this stuff, right? So we just read across things sometimes, and we go, but we don't, if we don't look it up in the Greek, sometimes we don't get a full understanding of the depth of it. So I remember several years ago, I was watching this preacher on TV, and he pointed out that the Greek word for pale, which for some reason I'd never looked up in all my years of studying, the Greek word for pale is the Greek word chloros. If you look up the definition of the Greek word chloros, it means green. or pale green. Now, because the writers or the translators of the Bible that were translating it into English, because they had never seen a green horse, they said, well, a green horse doesn't exist. So I guess what he's talking about is the pale side of this, so we'll translate it pale. So it wasn't incorrect. It was just not complete. You understand? So we look up this word chloros, and we find out that it means green, and then our eyes are open because the green horse, it says, will be riding in the last days. And we find out that it will have authority or power over one quarter of the earth. We find out that its rider will be death. And it's one of the signs of the end. And so what we have is what? Islam. Sacred color of Islam is green. Right now there's 7 billion people in the world. There's 1.8 billion Muslims. They have authority over one quarter of the earth. And what are they into? Death. Right? If they can't find some Christians and Jews to kill, they'll kill each other because they got to kill something. Death rules them. And he said death by the sword, this writer would. So you see, when we look up in the Greek, we get depth of meaning, right? We get a word picture. We get the full understanding of what the Bible was saying. Well, the same thing I just discovered just a few weeks ago when I was getting ready to preach on the millennial reign and the marriage supper, I came across a passage that I've read many, 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 many times and never looked up the word. But let me read it for you. This is Revelation 20, verse 7 through 9. And this is talking about when after Jesus comes, that Satan will be taken and bound for 1,000 years. He'll be placed in the bottomless pit. He'll be chained there. Jesus will have a literal 1,000-year reign upon the earth. But at the end of that time, it says Satan will be loosed for a little season, and he will go and stir up another rebellion against God and against the people of God. And that's what this is talking about. So Revelation 27 through 9, you're probably not going to be able to see it on the video or on Facebook, but this is what it says. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters or the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So I'm reading this passage, right? And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, and I know it was the Holy Spirit came on me, and he said, and he drew my attention, it says, right here to this phrase, and they went up on the breadth of the earth. And the thought came to me, and I know it was the Lord, why didn't it just say they went up on the earth? Why does it say they went up on the breadth of the earth? That seems like something we don't need, an unnecessary word. No, it's not an unnecessary word. Because when I looked it up in the Greek, in the Strong's Greek Dictionary, it is the Greek word 4114 in the Strong's Greek Dictionary, platos. Platos. I thought immediately, that sounds like the word plateau. But hold on. So the word platos means width or breadth. So again, not an incorrect translation, but notice it tells us that it's from a root word. Platos is from the root word, the next word, 4116. Look, this is straight from the Strong's Greek Dictionary. The root word of platos is platus. Look what it says, spread out, flat. Does everybody see that? Spread out, flat, a plot, broad or wide, plateaus. Now let's look, go ahead to the next one. Here it is in the blue letter lexicon broken down for you. Here's the word written in the Greek language, plateaus. tells you, with, it comes from the root word 4116, which is plateau, spread out flat. And then this word originally is a word plaso that means basically clay. So literally this word platos, platus, plaso means to spread out clay flat. So the verse in Revelation 20, verse 9, should read, they went up on the flat earth. Don't tell me the Bible doesn't teach it. Let's look at the etymology of the word plateau, right? Remember I said it sounded like the word plateau, right? Well, you look up etymology dictionary here online, typed in plateau. It tells you plateau, elevated tract of relatively level land, French plateau, tableland, flat surface or thing, noun use of the adjective plat, or which means flat, stretched out. It is from the vulgar Latin platus, from the Greek platus. So the very origin of the word plateau, which means flat land, level land, comes from the Greek word platus. It means flat. So in Job 38:14, we are given the word picture that when God created the earth, it was changed as clay to the signet ring, pressed down flat like a piece of clay. In the book of Revelation 7 through 9, particularly verse 9, it says they went up on the platus, says they went up on the flat earth. Folks, your Bible says they went up on the flat earth. Okay? Now, let's keep going prayerfully. This is why this is important. This is the testimony that I received on my YouTube. I just took a screenshot so you could see. I blanked out the guy's last name in case he didn't want his last name on here. He said this about the video, the Flat Earth video. The first one's over 20,000, well, over 16,000, I'm sorry, or 17,000. I don't know. Between the two of them, it's over 21,000 views now in just a couple of months. I can't tell you how many positive comments I've had from Christians and non-Christians, okay, and new Christians. But here's what Wes said to me 4 weeks after I posted the video, month after. He said, Dean Odell, I would like to thank you for this video. I recently found the God almost 2 months ago. And he's talking about the true God of the Bible, the creator, Jesus. I found the true God almost 2 months ago. I used to believe in the ancient astronaut theory and that we were a small speck in a huge universe hurtling through space. I came across a flat earth video on YouTube and decided to check it out because I was curious what the fuss was about. Since that video, I researched for weeks on end why NASA would be lying to everyone. I finally saw God's fingerprint when I was 100% convinced the earth was flat and that everything we know has been a lie and that God's word is more true than we know. I cried when I found God. Why? Well, I finally had understanding. Life made sense now. I no longer question God's word and if we are alone in the universe. I'm thankful for you in this video and to help as many people as we can realize the truth of God's word. I have subscribed to your channel and like to attend through YouTube since I'm in South Carolina. I know so many people cannot see the truth or think I'm crazy, but I know that God's word is true, and I believe he used the flat earth theory to show me that he is real before the end of days. He works in mysterious ways. I was brought up in a family that had several different beliefs, so I never knew God as good as I wanted to. Please help me get to know him better. I appreciate you and everything you're doing. God bless you and thank you. See, I had a Christian tell me it's not a salvation issue. Well, it was for Wes. It was for Wes. And if it's what God's word teaches, then it's truth, and we should not be ashamed of the truth. Amen. And what have I always said to you? I've always said to you, just because it might not be the truth you need, doesn't mean it's not the truth somebody else needs. It opened his eyes that the whole scientific lie that we came from monkeys and we live in this vast universe and we're nothing but a speck, insignificant, all that was washed away once he realized it. Let's keep going. See, here's the propaganda. Here's how they do it. Here's Google Earth. And let me tell you, Google is a branch of the government. Okay? You just need to understand that. The head of DARPA, what's her name? Regina Dugan? She leaves DARPA, the research arm of the United States military industrial complex, and she becomes the head of Google, or one of the heads of Google. You know what I'm saying? So Google Earth shows that there's a curvature of the Earth at 65 miles up, right? So the rocket we've shown, the GoFast rocket of 2014, goes up to 73 miles. We've shown that video many times. As it's falling back down to the Earth, you can freeze the video and you can see the horizon from 73 miles in altitude, and you get an absolutely flat horizon. The way that they are using U2, spy plane, videos, propaganda stuff, the Red Bull jump from the edge of space, is they use GoPro lenses or lenses like GoPro lenses that are fisheye, and what they do is they distort the horizon because they're giving this panoramic view, but they curve things. This is the GoPro lens as it looks. This is the GoPro lens when it's corrected. See, let's keep going. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Here is Arabin Magazine. I took this off the internet, Facebook the other day. This is a and notice it says, what does that say there? Government organization for Arabin Magazine. Government organization. They're doing a whole promo spot with the U2 spy plane, right? And he's talking about the whole time, seeing the curvature of the Earth. Well, they can only go up to 70,000 feet. That's a GoPro camera or one like it. In fact, I believe the government probably made the GoPro cameras so that they could keep putting the propaganda out there. Let's keep going. Now, this is a picture that a guy, I can't read his name here, 2009, he entitled this picture "The Curvature of the Earth." But let me tell you something. I've been on mountains like this. I've been in airplanes. I've flown to the other side of the world numerous times. I've been up 40,000 feet, above 40,000 feet. I've been up to the top of the Continental Divide. All right? There is no view on the Earth with your eyes that gives you a curved horizon. Never. Not anywhere. This is a GoPro camera. And again, more propaganda to try to make you believe that the Earth is a ball. Let's keep going. Here's another fake curve from the U.S. government. That's another plane. Let me tell you something. They're saying that they're seeing this level of curve at 70 or 80,000 feet. All right, well, let's look at some balloon tests from much higher. Well, here's the that's the Red Bull. Y'all, anybody remember that in 2012? GoPro camera. What's interesting about this picture is this curve right here, if that's the real curve of the Earth, we live on a really small ball. Because that's almost all of wherever he jumped, New Mexico, California, that's almost all of it right there. No ocean, that's just all land. So you know it's a fake GoPro camera when he steps out there to give you that shot, because there's no way that's the curve. Right? Here's a true picture of the horizon. This is a balloon test. They called it the Dog Cam Sport UK. They got up to translated the kilometers for you. 33 kilometers, the Earth is flat. 20 miles, 106,000 feet. Much higher than the U2 spy plane can fly. Do you see any curve there? Let's look at another one. This is the little piggy balloon we had earlier, 121,000 feet. Multiple pictures. And this one, you need to watch this video, because this one, the wind settles, the camera gets real, everything gets real still, and then I guess they got some kind of remote on it where they begin to spin it this way, and then they'll come back, and then it'll spin, and it'll show you It'll go all the way around. No curve. Now, do I believe real people or the government? Uh-huh. Both of these pictures, one, somebody has to be telling a lie here, right? Somebody's got to be lying. Either we live on a really curved ball or we live on a flat plane. It can't be both. Let's keep going. As I presented before, Auguste Piccard, we'll keep going. The Swiss-Belgian physicist that I bought his thing, the magazine of him, he went up. Now let's keep going. I know I've shared this before. That's him in his little capsule. He went up 1931, right? Here's the magazine, Popular Science, 1931, that I bought. Listen to this. This is wild. Somebody sent me the other day. Well, last week when we were at lunch after Sunday, I bought this online. I found one, right, back several months ago. I bought it for $15 plus shipping. Someone sent me one on eBay now for $5,000. Somebody's trying to sell it. One copy for $5,000. They've said bidding starts. They can start bidding at $3,500. And then if you want to just buy it right then, they'll take $5,000. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But see, what y'all don't know is this is the first time that I ever did anything that I made it go viral. Because when we put the first video up and this truth got out there, this particular thing was taken by people from all over and videos and literally went viral across the internet. Okay, beyond us, way beyond us. Popular Science magazine. I didn't want to bring it today because somebody jumped all over me for touching it with my hand. So I'm gonna get it in a nice case. Especially, you know, in another couple of months, it may be worth $10,000. Anyway, 10 miles high in an airtight balloon. Here's a physicist, worked with Albert Einstein. Let's see what he said. And there's where I'm showing you where I bought it. 2145. Keep going. And here's what he said. Auguste Piccard said that when he got up to the stratosphere, that he saw the Earth. He said, through the portholes, the observers saw the Earth through copper-colored, then bluish haze. It seemed a flat disk with an upturned edge. All right, remember, this is before NASA. I'm reminding you of this, right? What did God say about the Earth? Flat, right? Job 38, 14, it's flat. Revelation 29, they went up on the plateaus, the flat earth. A man that didn't have anything to gain. There was no NASA. There were no space agencies. He's the first one to go up that high. He had no reason to lie. He told us it's a flat disk with an upturned edge. Scientist, physicist, doctor, inventor, famous man. He had no reason to lie about it. I had somebody say, well, he didn't really say that. No, let me tell you, there's newspapers in 1931 that he said it, and even where he sketched it, I got to buy that newspaper. Okay? He sketched it. So don't tell me he didn't. He said what he saw. All right? Let's keep going. And there, for those of you, since I didn't bring it today, I took a picture of me holding it last time. I do have the actual copy of Popular Science magazine, August 1931. Let's keep going. There's proofs everywhere you look that the Earth is flat. Here's one, and this is from Wikipedia. This is an area in Bolivia. You know about this, don't you? We have a Bolivian here, right? You have pictures of it. So you've been there, or your family's been there. All right. Here's this place. How would you pronounce this? How do you pronounce that place? Salar. Say it loud. Sal de Uyuni. Sal de Uyuni? Uyuni. All right. Sal de Uyuni. So anyway, this is an area in Bolivia that's 4,086 square miles. Pretty big, huh? The variation in surface elevation over that 4,086 square miles is less than 1 meter. That's less than 3 feet. In 6 miles, folks, in 6 miles, what does it come to? They're supposed to, well, I know in 13 miles. In 13 miles at ground level without any height, at 13 miles, there should be 112 feet of variation, curvature, if it's a ball. Think about that. This is huge. Eric, these places are everywhere. Here's another one. Let's look at the Suez Canal. How many of you know anything about the Suez Canal? I'm going to read something to you here. And for those of you out there, if you want a good book to get you started on this, I recommend The Flat Earth Conspiracy by Eric Dubay. Chock full of real evidence, right? Let me get to the Suez Canal here. Let me flip over here. Now, the distance between the Red Sea at Suez and the Mediterranean Sea is 100 statute miles. The datum line of the canal being 26 feet below the level of the Mediterranean is a continually horizontal all the way from sea to sea. It's completely horizontal for 100 miles. It says here, it's completely horizontal the whole way from sea to sea, not being one single lock on the canal, meaning there's not one lock to change altitude, to change feet. The surface of the water being parallel with the datum line, it is thus clear that there is no curvature for the whole 100 miles between the Mediterranean and the Red Sea. That is a fact. If the earth were a ball, you would have a tremendous amount of change of that datum line over 100 miles. In fact, what is it they say? How many? I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, it's just, I'd have to pull up the calculator. And listen, somebody said the other day, we were talking about, one guy was watching this, and he's a teacher, watched our video with a friend, and he was saying, well, maybe his math's wrong. Let me tell you something. The math is simple. Let me explain it to you. The math on figuring curvature is really the curvature of the earth simple. If we know that they give us the 25,000 miles, or just shy of 25,000 miles, that the earth is the circumference, right? And once you know that, then the math is simple, right? It's 8 inches times the distance, 8 inches per mile times the distance squared. Let me tell you how that works. So let's look at 2 miles. This is how it works. You go 8 times 2 squared. Now, what is 2 squared? 4. So 8 times 4 is what? 32. So that's 32 inches for 2 miles. That's how you figure it. It's not hard to do. Now, it gets a little more complicated when you change the elevation of the viewer, but you just add that in and do your equation, okay? Let's keep going here. Now, here's the NASA document I talked about earlier that I downloaded. For those of you who think NASA is the end-all, be-all, well, let's see what they have to say. Okay, I downloaded this from NASA.gov. You know, every now and then, a liar, even a liar, tells the truth, right? Remember, what did Lucifer do in the garden? I talked about this last week. Did he tell all lies or just mixed lies in with the truth? Right. See, they can't lie about everything because they do make rockets and airplanes and things of that nature, and they have to make them work, right? Well, this right here, I want you to see this. NASA Reference Publication 1207, 1988, Ames Research Center, Dryden Flight Research Facility, Edwards, California, gives you the names, Eugene L. Duke at the time, Robert whatever his name is, Keith Cranbier, derivation and definition of a linear aircraft model. Now, the word derivation means the origin. He's giving you the origin and the definition of linear aircraft design. Smart people, right? Here's the, back up real quick. This is the summary of the contents. So you're going to have an introduction or a summary and a concluding remarks. In between is full of mathematical equations, okay? But I'm going to show you the summary in the beginning, what he says. And I'm going to show you the conclusion after they work through all the equations and analytics on aircraft design. Here's the summary. Summary, this report documents the derivation and definition of a linear aircraft model for a rigid aircraft of constant mass flying over a flat, non-rotating Earth. The derivation makes no assumptions of reference trajectory or vehicle symmetry. The linear system equations are derived and evaluated along a general trajectory, including both aircraft dynamics and observation variables. So what they're saying there is, we don't have any trajectory changes. It's flying over a flat surface, right? Now, folks, if the Earth is a ball, now think about this. Think about the corrections aircraft would have to make flying at 600 miles an hour. If we're talking about 8 inches times the distance squared, at 600 miles an hour, will be a constant. Basically, your aircraft will be in a constant turn downward. Now, imagine that same airplane flying at Mach 1, Mach 2, Mach 3, having to fly at a constant turn. No, here's what they're telling you here. Here's what this NASA document is telling you, that aircraft, they're not designed for that. They're designed to fly over a non-rotating flat Earth. That's what it says, right? Let's go to the conclusion. After they go through all of their equations and discussion, and I'm going to show you who it's signed by down here, right? Concluding remarks. This report derives and defines a set of linearized system matrices for a rigid aircraft of constant mass flying in a stationary atmosphere over a flat, non-rotating Earth. Both generalized and standard linear system equations are derived from nonlinear six-degree of freedom equations of motion and a large collection of nonlinear observation measurement equations. And then he says this down here. Well, he says, this derivation of a linear model is general and makes no assumptions on either the reference, nominal, or trajectory about which the model is linearized or the symmetry of the vehicle mass and aerodynamic properties. Well, I tell you what, he learned to spit out a mouthful of words. Ames Research Center, Drayden Flight Research Facility, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, Edwards, California, January 8, 1987. You can download this yourself from NASA.gov. Just look it up. Or I can send you the link. All right? Let's keep going. Here's the math again that I was sharing with you. You see that? Now, when we did our test, let's keep going. When we did our test across Mobile Bay, 12.5, at some point it was 12.5 miles. At other places it was 13 miles. Depending on what we're looking at, because we're looking at an angle here. But this is it right here. This is what they tell you. So this equation works out. You can go to the next. Shows you how you figure it. 8 inches times miles squared equals your curvature drop. Right? So let's go to the next one. And there it is again. All right. Now, I'm repeating this again because I want to make this point. Again, we got new listeners and new viewers.
But the Bible says it, right? The Bible says it. We even have, of course, NASA trying to fool us, and then we have NASA admitting it when they design aircraft, right? So if I'm crazy, whoever wrote that NASA document's crazy. So we have, the Bible says it, the earth is flat. We have NASA saying they design aircraft to fly over a non-rotating flat earth. Yet we have these GoPro cameras and all this fake stuff to try to get us off base here. But we have real pictures from real balloons, high altitude balloons. And then we have people like us going out and testing this. And we went to Mobile, Alabama, 3.5 hours from here. And we'll show you again. Here we are, North Beach Park, Fairhope, Alabama, on the east side of Mobile Bay. This is our engineer from LSU, verified the math. So it wasn't just me and Kevin doing the math. Kevin bought the Nikon 900 zoom. That's what that is we're looking through. And we're looking at an angle across Mobile Bay, 12.5, 13 miles. And what do we see? Another picture there. There's where, give you Fairhope, Alabama, where we were looking across the bay back toward the port of Mobile. That point, again, these are variations because of the different points on there, but this shows you the earth curvature. And this earth curvature calculator is correct, by the way. I've checked it myself. I did the equation the other day to make sure it was correct. So the earth curvature calculator math is correct. So Mobile, Alabama, 12.5 to 13 miles away, here's what we are seeing. Now, at sea level, there should have been 112 feet of curvature, but we had the camera sitting up at 6 feet above sea level. You put that into the equation, we should have been missing 69 point something feet of curvature, meaning about 6 stories to 7 stories we should not have been able to see. Yet, what we're seeing here, Mobile port, boats in the water, the cranes all the way to the ground. Go ahead. Now, why am I doing this? 60 feet should be hidden. If the earth is a ball, 60 feet we should not be able to see. That's about here. And yet we're seeing this boat being loaded or unloaded right here in the port. Why am I showing you this again? Why am I putting this out there again? This is irrefutable. It's irrefutable. It's you can say it's refraction. Let me tell you something. It's not light refraction. You know why? Because we got in the car and drove across, went back up, drove across I-10, drove across, and I'm looking at all this stuff. We're looking out there at it. It's not light refraction. You're seeing the colors on the cranes. Light refraction. No, we had one of the most powerful zoom cameras that you can buy. We were seeing it. Let's keep going. Look at this. Here's the actual crane. Look at what we're seeing. You can still see the white and red on the crane here as it is right here. And we're seeing this is a ship being loaded by the crane right here. And you can see the ship sitting in here. Right there. You can see it sitting in the water. It's 60 feet of curvature, 70 feet missing. I mean, are we, I'm telling you, I sit back and I go, what more do you have to do, especially the Christians? You get what I'm saying? We show you in the Bible, it says it in the Bible, God's Word. Then we show you tests, experiments, high altitude balloon pictures. We go out and take a zoom camera and telescopes and test it and do the math correctly and show you that the curvature, the ball, the mystery ball doesn't exist. We show you that NASA gives fake CGI picture after picture after picture. We show you NASA, somebody made a mistake and let that document get out.
Admit they have to design aircraft to fly over a stationary, non-rotating fighter. What I'm trying to tell you is, don't doubt God's word because somebody can make a rocket ship and put on a good show. Or because they can use a different camera with a fisheye lens and put a curve on land where there's no curve. I know somebody you guys know said, oh, we know an astronaut that's a Christian. I'm going to tell you something. If he tells you his place is a ball, he ain't a Christian. Because either he's deceived himself or he is deceiving you. And anybody can say they're a Christian. In fact, I think you pretty much have to sign a pledge. I mean, I really think that a lot of this stuff, they know the truth about this. But it's like, this is classified. You will not acknowledge this. If you were in the military, NASA, whatever. But folks, I could spend all morning showing you their fake pictures, their bad Photoshop jobs of NASA. Bubbles going up from astronauts in alleged spacewalks in space, but bubbles going up. How's a bubble in an empty vacuum? There's one spacewalk. They're telling you it's a spacewalk at the International Space Station, and they're filming this, and they've got a little door open over here, a little porthole open, and the astronauts are out here doing their work, right, supposedly in space, but they're in the pool. And all of a sudden, you see a little guy appear with a scuba tank on, and then he hides back again. Like, they're so terrible at this. But you know what they're really good at? Mind control. Brainwashing you from the time you're a child. And it's hard to root out of you. All right? Now, I don't have time today. I'm not going to keep going. What did I have left? Oh, that's just the rest of our pictures. Look, there it is. I mean, this is what we did. We verified this. Right? Let me ask y'all. Anybody in here, raise your hand. Just tell me. Even though you've heard several messages on this, how many of you still had some struggle with this truth? Or at least talking about it? Oh, y'all a bunch of liars out there. Somebody's lying. Listen, I understand. You want to talk about, we already go against the flow, right, of this world. But I do believe, I'm going to tell you, I do believe that this truth is going to take root and begin to dislodge some of the lies. And I actually believe that NASA's getting very active. And you have stuff like this, you know, the Red Bull space jump, and they put out the U2 pictures, and there's really a big media push to still try to reinforce to everyone, no, it's a ball. You know why? Because really, the truth is about the Earth being flat, this thing really exploded just in the last few years. They are actually trying to combat the truth of Scripture. Because just like I showed you, Wes, it woke him up. NASA lies, God's word is true, and the man found Jesus as his Lord and Savior and wept his eyes out when he found the truth. And he was believing their whole ancient astronaut, ancient alien lie. And there's a lot of people like Wes out there. And if the church of Jesus Christ will not stand up for the truth, when they hear it from the Scriptures, and when they see it with their eyes, and when they test it themselves, and if we won't stand up for it against these lies, these deceivers, and this deception, who will? I can't tell you, and I want to say this. I appreciate all those who commented on our YouTube videos, and I'm talking about many, 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 hundreds. I am not exaggerating either. Hundreds of comments and emails. The vast majority positive, saying thank you. Thank you for being bold. Thank you for taking a stand. Thank you for doing some people said it's the best biblical teaching they'd ever heard on the subject. Thank you for being a pastor in a church that would take a stand and speak this truth. You're the first, I don't know how many people said, you're the first pastor in a church that I've seen stand up with the truth of what the Bible says about the flat earth, about the dome firmament, about the sun, moon, and stars close to us and not out of outer space. I'm going to deal with that next time. There's more evidence that the firmament is over our heads. I can't get to it all. But see, you can say, Pastor Dean, you're crazy. No, I believe God. Who do you believe? I believe God's word. I believe what I see with my own eyes, what I've tested with my own eyes. I have seen with my own eyes the clouds behind the moon and the sun. That's harder to see. Is it so bright? Folks, the Bible says that the sun moves around us and not us around the sun. Psalm 19 is clear. Joshua didn't tell the earth to stop spinning. He told the sun and the moon to stop their circuit, and they stopped. God said he made two great lights, the sun and the moon. He didn't say the moon was a reflector of the sun. He said the moon will not, Jesus said the moon in the end will not give off her light. I posted these pictures on Facebook the other day. If you want to pull up my Facebook page, do it. Pull up my Facebook page and just scroll down to the moon pictures. But folks, how many, every one of us have witnessed this, and I remember, I've witnessed this for years, and I just never thought about what I was seeing. But you sit there when the moon's going through its phases, and say it's a half moon, or a crescent moon. And even in the daytime, how you see through it, you see the sky through the moon. You can even sometimes see a star through the moon. How is that happening if the moon is this solid ball in the sky that's only reflecting the light of the sun? How are we seeing through it? And then people say, well, I know the earth is a ball because of the crescent shadow on the moon. Well, what is going on when the moon is a gibbous moon? You know what a gibbous moon is? A gibbous moon is when the shadow is not like this, it's like that. So what's causing that? There's so many inconsistencies with the heliocentric model. So many. But you know what? I thank God woke me up to it. Did you find it? Dean Old Ministries Facebook page. I want y'all to see these pictures of the moon. Everybody say plateau. Plateaus. Spread out flat. Is that Bible? Is that Greek language? Is that a correct definition? Etymology? So, I don't hear anybody, YouTube comments, emails, Facebook, I don't want to hear anybody say the Bible doesn't teach the earth is flat. You don't have one verse, not one, to teach that it is a ball sphere. You don't have one, not one. Oh, yeah, Isaiah said it's a circle. Okay, we covered that last time. But if you're new to this, Isaiah said in one place, he talked about the circle of the earth, God sitting above the circle. And then another place he talked about a ball. They're two different Hebrew words. So circle is not a ball. Amen? Look at this, y'all. If the moon's up in space, how am I able to see the blue sky through it? Do you see that? There's several pictures here. Yeah, let's look at the next one. Look at that. Here's the moon, right, where it all is supposed to be. Here's a star. You're seeing blue sky through the moon, and you're seeing a star on the other side. Let's look at another one. Should be there. Is that it? Ah, there's another one. Look, there's another one. Look here. At night, what do these spots look like? They look black. Well, you know why? Because on the other side, it's dark sky. But in the daytime, they're blue. You're seeing through it. Down here, all blue. You're seeing blue. Why? Because the moon's not 230,000 miles away. It's not in outer space. And I believe the moon is some kind of translucent light that goes through a process God made. It has nothing to do with the sun shining on it. Now, I know some people say, well, the book of Enoch talks about the moon getting energy or something from the sun. I'm not saying, you know what? It might actually, like, you know, our glow-in-the-dark stuff, like Faith got a little glow-in-the-dark lamp. We have to set it up under the light. But after we pull it out, it's giving off itself, right? Maybe that's what's going on. It's not reflecting, I can tell you that. It might be absorbing, and that's why how it goes through its phases. I don't know. But again, who knows? NASA tells us what they think. They told us they landed on it. No, they didn't. They didn't land on it. Everything is not as we've been told. Amen? Why did they switch it all? They switched it all to turn you away from the God of creation, the God of the Bible. To me, it's the greatest deception they've ever come up with. It's the greatest lie. And there's a generation now in the end of days that needs to know that God is true and these men are liars. Amen?
Amen.
There's plenty more evidence. I really cut this in half. Believe it or not, this message is cut in half. So I realized I can't do it the whole thing. All right. Do your own research. Check out what I preach. Amen. I promise you this. The Lord is beginning to stir me to use this as a witnessing tool. But you need to know how to do it. Give them the evidence first. And then show them the scriptures. Christians, though, show them the scriptures. And then give them the evidence. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. That's true. Lord, the wisdom of this world, you said, is foolishness with you. They think they're wise. They think they know. They come up with theories and present them as facts. But Lord, your word is true. God, and what we observe of your creation is the truth. What your word says and what we see with our eyes, not what we've been told. Father, we believe you are the creator, Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible. You are the creator. You are the one true God. And your son, Jesus Christ, is the only Messiah who died for sin and rose from the dead. And that we must believe in you. We must believe to be saved for all eternity. Lord, I'm praying that those watching, those listening, those who are seeing this after today, I want you to know God loves you. The God of the Bible is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the only way to have your sins forgiven and to have eternal life in heaven. You must believe that Jesus Christ, God, came in the flesh, died on the cross for your sin, rose from the dead on the third day, and that only his sacrifice will make you clean and forgiven and ready to go to heaven. And you must confess him as Lord with your mouth. You must repent and turn from your sins, and you must become a disciple of Jesus Christ if you want to be when all of this is done or when your life is over. Oh, Father, today, Holy Spirit, I pray, go forth those that are not saved or those that are backslidden or unbelieving or becoming apostates. Holy Ghost, grab hold of the unsaved ones. Grab hold of the prodigals who have strayed away. Grab hold of them and draw them back today through your word and your truth. As in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, all right. I'm done for the day. Go ahead. And we'll go ahead and say goodbye to our Facebook Live, Blog Talk, Mixler. Appreciate everybody, those of you here today. Did y'all learn something?